hello, hello, and welcome to From the Haunted Closet. I'm your host, Anna. Today I'm going to be recording all by myself. Jamie is up north visiting all kinds of friends and family, so I didn't really want to bother her having her record an episode this week. I know she doesn't get to visit them very often, and I thought, hey, I could try to do this myself. I'm a little nervous. Recording by myself is not something that is in my comfort zone. Honestly, recording with another person is pretty difficult for me to do. I feel like I very much have trouble coming off as like natural, and it everything just feels very awkward when I hear it back. Hopefully that doesn't sound the same for people listening. Hopefully I don't get too rambly or too robotic, and just kind of find a happy medium in between. Really looking forward to this episode, even if it is one that I have to do by myself. I have a lot of information to share, and I'm especially excited because it is someplace that is local to where I grew up. I lived in Ashland, Wisconsin for about 8 years, from the time I was like my late teens to like mid-20s. And Ashland, Wisconsin is right on Shawamigan Bay. It's not very far from the Apostle Islands and from Madeline Island, where our mystery this week takes place. I have, however, not been to the village of the little people. I know people who have, and I am aware of where it is located. However, I do not feel comfortable sharing that information. It is very much a local legend, and it is something that the locals really, really respect, and I would hate to be that person to share it and then end up ruining it for everyone else. So don't even ask me. I will not tell. Oh, also, I have a new microphone I have working today. I got it for my birthday last month. And I've been unable to use it. When Jamie and I record together with the app that we use, it won't work for some reason. It only wants to record through my phone and not the microphone, which is such a bummer. So hopefully the quality is a little bit better. The headphones I'm trying to use right now, though, it sounds like one side is broken, which is a bummer because they're brand new. I bought them specifically for the microphone. So also, I apologize if you can hear the like squeaking from my chair. It's kind of rickety, and I don't feel like going and getting a new one because I've already started recording, and I am committed to just getting through this, just sliding right through all of this fun stuff we're going to explore together. First, I think I will start out with a little history of Madeline Island. Just a brief, so everyone is on the same page and they know the background. As a child who grew up in the area, my school would often take us to Madeline Island about once a year or so, and we would go to the museum. They have a cute little history museum there, and we would go on a tour through the town and see the historic cemetery, and then we would go have like a picnic lunch on the beach, and we could see the different really pretty rock formations and see the beautiful view of the lake. Absolutely stunning. If anyone is ever thinking of going to the Midwest, specifically Wisconsin, 10 out of 10 recommend visiting Madeline Island to either just see the beaches or the lakes, or to rent a kayak or canoe and visit the sea caves and the different caves on the Apostle Islands, because oh, they are so beautiful. Even in the winter, when the water freezes over, they do tours of the ice caves, and they are so pretty. I've always wanted to go, but in recent years, it's either not been cold enough and it's been unsafe to do, or I had little kids at the time, like baby, and now that my kids are a little bit older, I'd feel more comfortable taking them out in like negative degree weather, but at the time, it just didn't feel like the right choice to make. So maybe at some point, it's on my bucket list. It's a shame to live so close and to not actually be able to do it. Getting more back on track here, Madeline Island is one of the 22 Apostle Islands The Apostle Islands are a cluster of islands at the tip of Wisconsin on Lake Superior. Madeline Island is the largest island, at 14 miles long and 3 miles wide, and the only island to have commercial and private ownership. Its population is 246 year-round, with some summer and vacation homes. The island can only be reached by boat or ferry during the warm months and a 4.3 mile long ice road during the winter months, which makes it very hard to access at times, because there are definitely times when the ferry can't go through because of ice, but the ice isn't completely solid to the point where people can go on the ice roads with their cars. There's like a snowmobile almost kind of thing, was what they told us when we were kids, and we had asked for like the children who live on the island to get to the Bayfield School District, and they take that. I'm not really sure how that works exactly, but I know like it gets wet and sloshy, but they make it through. They get there. Madeline Island is an island of rich history. This island is the traditional spiritual center of the Lake Superior Chippewa. It is named Madeline after Ojibwe Chief White Crane's daughter. She married a man named Mitchell Cadott. They were prominent leaders on the island in the 19th century. The first European settlers were the French fur traders in 1693. The community of the Point developed around it. The fur trade is a huge part of the culture here in Wisconsin. We have so many different museums about it because those were the first European settlers, and really it was one of the main exports that this area had to offer to them at the time. There is a very high French descendant population here because of it too. And that's one of the one things I really remember from school with studying Madeline Island. It was, they really focused on the fur trade. We always talked a little bit too about the Ojibwe culture, because that is a very huge part of the culture here too. There are various reservations in the area, and the island, along with the surrounding areas, hold a very strong significance to the people. The Point is located on the southwestern tip of the island, with Grant's Tip being the southeasternmost point. I always thought that Madeline Island looked kind of like if you took a shotgun and then you like squished it a little bit. It looks kind of like that. You can kind of see like the butt of it and then like the stalk. Maybe I'm the only one who really like thinks that, but I grew up with my parents being very like active hunters and that kind of thing, so I guess that would make sense why that's the first thing that pops in my head. Madeline Island is known as a vacation and tourist spot for many people in the Midwest because of its natural environment and outdoor recreational opportunities. Like I said before, kayaking, canoeing, and exploring the sea caves, along with fishing, sailing, golfing, and cross-country skiing. Those are all really big in that area. Outdoorsy things are very, very popular. There's also a marathon that they run on the island, and there's a lot of different like festivals and festivities that take place year-round in the whole northern Wisconsin area there. Now on to the exciting part, the Village of the Little People. The Village of the Little People, or sometimes referred to as the Smurf Village by the locals, is a miniature village made of small concrete buildings. The village is located on private property, although it has been visited by many locals. The location of the village is kept very secret, shared only by word of mouth by people who have been there. There is even a much smaller decoy village on the path to the village in order to throw people off of the scent. Some buildings in the village include the names of what they are and dates on them. These dates date back to the 1950s and range all the way to modern day. The condition of the homes also shows that new ones are constantly being built, while others look like they are slowly crumbling apart after years of being left to the elements. The village itself is surrounded in mystery from its location to its origin. How did the village appear? And who made it? Some locals claim that the village is home to actual fairies or little folk that created it themselves. Another theory is that a father once built the village for his young daughter. This seems to be the most popular and likely theory, in my opinion. Another theory still is that a grieving father erected the village for his deceased children as a memoriam for them. Regardless of its origins, locals to the island and surrounding area claim the village to be for the island's children to enjoy. Buildings in the village include, but are not limited to, houses, farms, churches, a city hall, and gymnasium. The village is complex with little paths leading from building to building. And one of the main reasons that people do not share this location with others is because it is such a local legend and it is so cherished by the locals that they are worried that in the wrong hands, the complex yet fragile structures could be lost forever. Which I think is completely fair. There are definitely people out there who want to ruin things for others. And it's really sad, but it's true. Like, this is something that has been around since at least the 50s or 60s, maybe even longer, and has impacted so many people, from children to adults to even the elderly, who reflect back on it. And it's so important. It would really be a shame to share it with the wrong person and have all of it be destroyed, which is another reason why I will not be sharing the location of this, just beyond the fact that it is on the island and it does exist. I did post some pictures to our Instagram, and that is From the Haunted Closet on Instagram. I posted pictures of a few of the buildings, some of the paths. I think a few of the pictures had what looked like toy soldiers propped up next to them, so you can see to scale just how big the buildings are. I tried to find a few that had at least most of the buildings, if not all of them, in there, so you could really see just how much land this takes up. It really does look like a magical and fantastical place. By Lisa Phillips Owens, which is a local artist, she titled her piece The Hidden Village. It is a child that looks like a little girl sitting with her legs crisscross applesauce in front of a very tiny village, which isn't to scale with the real life fairy village, but I really feel like this picture does a good job of just capturing the wonder and the fantastical elements of real life in this picture. I highly recommend checking her out too if you want to learn more or to see any more of her works. I think they all are very nice. I was just looking her up earlier today, and she's a very great artist. I happened upon this thread on a website called Perfect Duluth Day, which was titled For the Little People, the Mysterious Miniature Village on Madeline Island. And in it was where I found Lisa Phillip Owens' painting, as well as a short fictional story her brother had written about the fairy village. And I would like to read that now. I happened upon this thread on a website called Perfect Duluth Day, which was titled For the Little People, the Mysterious Miniature Village on Madeline Island. And in it was where I found Lisa Phillip Owens' painting, as well as a short fictional story her brother had written about the fairy village. And I would like to read that now. The islanders were sworn to secrecy and wouldn't reveal the location, so my dad bribed an old ferryman at the docks to draw up a map in honor of my birthday. The ferryman smelled of gasoline and fish. He stared at me, but wouldn't meet my eyes. Due to my stubby 6-year-old legs, it took a better part of the afternoon to hike to the spot, but the village enchanted me on the on sight and put an end to my whining. Upon arrival, I spent an hour playing among the buildings. In my mind, I was a giant, and villagers ran screaming as I stomped through the town. Dad made me swear to be careful and not to hurt any of the buildings, but I still fantasized about knocking over steeples and kicking down walls. In short order, hunger overtook us, and we discovered a path to a birch glade nearby. My parents laid out a picnic blanket. I gulped down my food, eager to return to terrorizing the village. They let me head back alone while they cleaned up, as long as I promised to stay on the path and not go beyond the village. "Leave everything as you found it," Dad reminded me, "so the next family can enjoy it as we had." "Besides," Mom said with a sly smile, "you wouldn't want to anger any fairies." Walking back, I smelled the roses before I heard her questions. "Do you like them?" the little girl asked. She sat towering over the village town square. In her hands, she clutched a bouquet of wild white roses. The flowers matched her dress and complemented the paleness of her skin. The gentle breeze carried their fragrance thick through the air. Discovering her alone with no parents or adults shocked me. I found myself just staring at her. I could hear my dad talking to my mom just beyond the tree line and thought about calling to them, telling them about the girl and her white roses. The little girl, scrunched her nose, sizing me up, and then looked in the direction of the sound of my parents. She looked back and smiled. "The flowers," she clarified. "Do you like my flowers?" Suddenly, I felt incredibly shy and awkward. I couldn't speak. She just giggled at this and buried her face in her blossoms. Her lilting laughing reminded me of wind chimes, and my shyness lifted like fog off the bay. A warm breeze filled the boughs of trees around us, and I found my voice. "You're pretty," I blurted. I mean, they're pretty. "Thank you," she spoke through her laughter. "They love them." I felt a surreal wave of deja vu and remembered dreaming this very conversation, maybe dreaming it more than once. The scent of roses grew along with an intense sense of lightheadedness. I started laughing with her until suddenly I wondered just who she meant by they. I gulped back my giddiness and glanced nervously around again for her parents or siblings, but I saw no one. In the distance, I heard Mom laugh and reconsidered alerting my parents. Then the sweet fragrance of the roses drew me back to her again. She was beautiful. I smiled. Who loves them?" I asked. "People, silly," she replied. What people?" "The villagers, of course," she said. I looked around the empty stone buildings. She was playing make-believe. I loved playing make-believe. I, too, had seen the people in my mind when I was playing the rampage monster earlier. I raised my arms tight to my chest in a fashion of a Tyrannosaurus Rex and launched towards her. "They love my monster, too!" I roared and stomped. She jumped to her feet. Her face tightened into a scowl. "No, they most certainly do not love your monster," she scolded. "You stop that right now." Her words made me freeze with my right foot posed in the air. Movement beneath it caught my attention. Something small ran into one of the buildings. Gone before I could get a look at it. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw another thing dart into one of the doors. When I turned, something else ducked out of sight. Down one of the alleys, slowly, I lowered my foot. "Wait," she commanded. I stood and looked beneath my foot. A tiny man cowered on the ground, no bigger than one of my green plastic toy soldiers at home, but dressed like someone from another country in one of those Saturday afternoon monster movies on TV. I carefully set my foot down away from him. He got up, dusted himself off, and shook his fist at me as he ran away. I couldn't help but laugh. I squatted down and lost sight of him darting into a factory building. I tried to look in its door, but lost my footing. I grabbed the chimney shaft to regain my balance, and the top of the smokestack broke off in my hand. I fell backwards into the street, landing hard on my butt. Slightly stunned from the fall, I looked at the little girl through the shaft of the small piece of chimney still in my hand. The pieces were blackened like the chimney flue back home. "You are a very bad boy," the little girl proclaimed. I felt a sudden afternoon chill in the air. I looked back down at the shadow covering the street into the empty village and windows of the hidden village. I sensed something looking back from the darkness within. I felt scared, but my fear was overcome by youthful anger. I was bigger than her, and a whole lot bigger than toy soldiers. My fists tightened around the brickwork masonry in my hand. "You are a guest here," she said behind me, "and this is certainly no way for guests to behave. It looks like we are going to have to teach you some manners." No, you are not. I turned and stood to protest. "I'm going to teach." The girl was gone, and in her place now stood a large building. It took a moment to recognize it as the village town hall. I was standing on streets of the hidden village, now no bigger than the toy soldier villagers. Then, out of the shadows, doors and windows, they came. They were all adults. More and more gathered around, scowling at me. I began to scream and cry for my parents. Then I smelled the roses again. A shadow fell over the town square. I looked up, and the little girl, now a giant, loomed over us, blocking out the low sun. I tried to run, but the townspeople pressed in. I saw her hand come out of the sky like the hand of a god. Its meaty fingers scooped me up and stifled my screams. Right then, I heard my parents walking towards us down the path, smiling and chattering. I pressed to look through the cracks of my captor's monstrous fingers. There, above me, stood a giant version of Mom, Dad, backpacks, picnic baskets, and blankets. "Mommy! Daddy!" I howled. "Help me!" "Having fun, son?" My dad's voice rumbled above me. "Fun?" I felt wounded by his question. Before I could form a response, I heard someone who sounded just like me in a booming voice. "I want to go home." "Are you sure?" Mom asked. "We haven't been here that long." "Yes," the other me thundered, walking out of the village and onto the path. "I want to go home." "Okay, sweetie," Mom purred. "Are you having a happy birthday?" "The best," I heard the imposter say. "The bestest of the best." I screamed until my voice broke. But they didn't notice. I could hear them singing, "The ants go marching in," as they paraded out of sight. Fake me turned back one last time and smiled, just as the girl dropped me into the massive bouquet. I bounced off enormous sheets of petals, overwhelmed by their pungency, and slid down the stems into huge, sharp thorns. I tried avoiding them, but they were too tightly bunched, so I just covered my eyes. I felt thorns rip and rend my skin and clothing away until, mercifully, all went numb and black. I woke up naked and bleeding, surrounded by the villagers. Their gray eyes glared in envy at my tender age. The hidden village had robbed them of their childhood, as it would mine, and they would now beat and scratch and tear the remaining youth out of me. The little girl's shadow bathed the town square in its gloom and blocked out the setting sun. My ears rang with her rumbling laughter, and I trembled in the twilight of a fading Indian summer. I found a blog post on the Crookery Maven titled "A Hidden Village in the Forest," and I just wanted to read a few excerpts from there and summarize a little bit. Basically, it is a family who they just talk about finding the village. Seeking out and finding the village one day, and then deciding more recently to go find it again. It says, "It was one of those moments that I will never forget. The kids were mesmerized by the magical fairy homes in the wilderness, and I was grateful to witness such faith in an unexplainable magic that kids are so willing to embrace." And I thought that was really beautiful, the way that she describes that. After 16 years, the family decides to come visit the village again, and she just explains how different it looks and how weathered and abandoned it looks compared to how it did before. How it just doesn't look like it's been visited in a while. She says the houses had greenery poking out through the windows, and it looked as though they hadn't been visited for quite some time. The forest floor was littered with sticks and leaves, but the houses looked much the same as they did during our first visit all those years ago. She then talks about how her children spent time rearranging animal and figurines that are near the houses and taking pictures of the little community. I have read on a few other blogs that there aren't as many animals and figurines as people who were visiting just thought that they were keepsakes that you could just bring home. and didn't realize that those were actually considered part of the village as well, which is sad. That's another reason to keep this special place a secret. Another thing I really liked about this blog post is all of the pictures and different angles that they were able to take of the village. You can also see some full-sized, either adults or teenagers, and a dog next to the buildings for scale. And they are quite large. They are very proportionate. They do look very weathered, but I thought it was interesting that they aren't just like a solid building. You can actually look inside and see inside of these buildings. You can see through the windows to the other side of them. They're pretty complex. It's not just a block, like a cinder block, sitting in the middle of the woods that looks kind of like a building, which was my initial thought when someone first told me about it. It really is set up to look and feel like a magical fairy village, and it really does. That's all I really have today on the Village of the Little People. I hope you learned a little something about some local to me folklore. The sources I used this episode were bayfieldcounty.org, visitashland.com, thecrookerymaven.com, perfectduluthday.com, and the forum on there was For the Little People, the Mysterious Miniature Village on Madeline Island. I also found some of the Madeline Island information on Wikipedia. If you have not, please check us out on Instagram. That's From the Haunted Closet. I also have a Twitter I haven't really kept up with yet, but check us out on there. If you have a story or would like to tell us anything, feedback, comments, anything, you can email us at fromthehauntedcloset@gmail.com. We would love to hear it. We would love to feature you if you have written a story or have a crazy experience, maybe some creepy artwork. It doesn't have to be on an upcoming topic that we've already chosen. We would gladly do a listener episode where we just talk about listener stories. That is like my dream, is to get more interaction from listeners and to really kind of help make this a thing that has a lot of like cooperation between us, if that makes sense. If you haven't yet, please rate us on iTunes, leave a comment, recommend us to people. I'm having a blast making these. Like I said before, they're not really easy for me. It is something that's out of my comfort zone, but I am really learning a lot about it, and I am really enjoying it. So I would just love to have some interaction from some listeners, some positive feedback. Don't be too mean if you give feedback, because I will cry. Or even if you have a story that you don't want to share on the podcast but would like to tell us, I would love to hear it. Like, creepy stuff is definitely my jam. Tune in next week. I'm not sure what our topic will be. I will announce that after this episode airs. That's something I like to talk about with Jamie before we decide. And that's it. Have a great rest of the day, and don't let the fairies kidnap you and take you to their village. Bye.